and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The New Orleans truck attacker, 15 dead, more than 30 wounded, and the hunt is on for accomplices.
We're going to continue to assume that he is not a lone wolf until we know otherwise.
New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick on CBS Mornings. Hospital Chief Medical Officer Jeffrey Elder telling CBS Mornings about the injury.
As of today, we have 15 patients still in the hospital, and their conditions range from critical to stable.
After a one-day postponement, the Sugar Bowl is due to kick off in New Orleans a few hours from now. Investigators in Las Vegas are probing a possible link with the Tesla truck that caught fire and exploded outside the Trump Hotel there yesterday. The driver died.
Both involved trucks that were involved, rented from the Turo app, and both did involve U.S.-born military service members who served in Afghanistan around the same time.
CBS's Andres Gutierrez reporting from Las Vegas. CBS News Special Report, I'm Vicki Barker.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Police are still looking for 47-year-old Virgil Thew in connection with the triple homicide in New Lisbon. He was last seen on December 29th wearing a dark-colored down coat, blue jeans, and a hat. Virgil should be considered armed and dangerous. Do not confront him. Call 911 if you have any information. Snowmobile races are coming to our area. The Snowdrifters Vintage Snowmobile Show will be on Saturday, January 18th from 9 to 3 in Vesper. Registration is at the Vesper Community Center from 8 to 11 a.m. After a little rescheduling, the Arpen X Vintage Snowcross Race is set for Saturday, February 1st, beginning at 10 a.m. Racers must be 16 years and older, and it's a $10 admission fee. Kids under 12 get in free. You can follow their Facebook page for more information at Arpen X Snowcross Races. Wisconsin's only endangered mammal, the marten, will soon be getting some help. The federal government has awarded the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission more than $800,000 to help protect the population. Jonathan Pulley is a professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. He says silvicultural practices and logging within local national forests altered marten's preferred habitats.
This work is really trying to understand how do we manage habitat in a meaningful way on these working landscapes to increase marten habitat and connectivity of these different subpopulations to ensure martens are here for the foreseeable future.
Pauly says the grant money will bring together a diverse group of folks from the federal, state, tribal, and academic levels over 4 years to create a forest management proposal with recommended habitat improvements for marten recovery in Wisconsin. The project will also include training for future biologists and ecologists. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little bit of sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down to around 10. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high pretty close to 15 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Seth and I are going to get into some fun a little bit later. We've got some interesting topics for you. We'll get into some entertainment news. And actually got an entertainment story that I wanted to ask our good friends at the South Tucani Maine to say it about. Ooh. They join us at the top of every Thursday morning with our pet of the week. We've got Denise with us here right now. Denise, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you and yours. Did you have a good New Year's?
I did. It was very chill this year. How about you guys?
Yeah, basically the same. Yeah.
It feels like the overall theme for a lot of us this year.
Just lay back. We all need it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good point there. Yeah, we did need it. A little bit later, Denise, Seth and I are going to get into the greatest dog characters of all time.
Excellent.
You go ahead and think about it a little bit. Maybe later if you want to message me or something like that. Or if it comes to you, you go ahead and throw out some honorable mentions if you want. restaurant. But we do want to check in with our friends at the Humane Society, see how things are going over there.
They are great, crazy, crazy. We adopted eight cats, or we had adopted out eight cats last week.
All right.
Wow,
and
excellent.
Yep, it's great. We got one dog that is looking like it'll be fostered or adopted, and then we have a bunch more that of our dogs that need good homes. But the cats are rolling, which
great.
Makes us very happy.
Excellent.
Our construction, they're going to pour concrete, the plan, next week on our front new area, so that'll take us other parts of the building, if you will, but we're ready for it, and it's so exciting. Things going, big things coming at the Humane Society.
Yeah, it's really nice to hear, especially coming out of the year and going into a new year. You want that kind of approach, that energy with the staff and everything. Is it good for the team and the staff, but it's good for the animals. The animals pick up on these things.
They do. They really do, and it's a little topsy turvy right now, but we're trying to keep it as normal for them as possible.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Our staff and the community and the volunteers, just they handle that so well. It's impressive to see.
We know that there are always things that we as a community like to be able to help out with. Are there any in-need things that you have over there? Kitten food, litter, that kind of thing?
Yep. Cat litter is always a big thing. Dog food, the dry especially. We have a lot of dogs in. We just took another one in this morning as a stray. So dog food, if you have extra, drop it off. And cat litter, those are the top two, as well as blankets and, you know, toys and things like that.
And keep in mind, there's other volunteer opportunities over there at the Humane Society, and it's a great way to help out. Especially, we have a lot of kids that are going to be going, getting ready to go off to school, to college, looking for things on your resume. That's a great one to have on there that you've, you have volunteered at your local Humane Society, helped out there.
Yep.
Those can be really good, as well as a great thing for people that are looking. We have a lot of retired people in this community and looking for things to do, and a great way to help out is working over at your local Humane Society and getting around these animals is always fun. I've worked in humane societies before, and I did not mind any of the jobs I did. I was always around animals. I was always in a good mood.
It's a great place to be, because you feel so wonderful. And then I learned dog room last week and how to, the whole process of feeding them and taking them out and cleaning their kennels. It was so fulfilling just to know, and like, I understand the process and we're helping these animals. Volunteers, anybody that is interested, go on the website, SWCHS.com, and fill out the application, and we'll get you in, get you trained, and it's amazing to have volunteers if you're interested.
And how have you been doing? How are things been going in the transition into the position and everything?
Good. I'm learning a lot every day. I'm understanding the processes a little more and meeting board members and understanding the personalities and how to take care of these animals, because that's the number one thing that we're all there for. So, I'm loving it. A couple weeks in, and I'm feeling a little more positive.
All right.
Really good to hear.
Yeah.
And you just feel like a perfect fit for it, too.
Thank you.
We really do appreciate that.
We've got
a lot of important jobs in this community, and I think that the position you're in is a key one, an important one. It's great to see somebody not only embracing it and enjoying it, but somebody who really fits it very well and fits
Thank
this community
you.
Very well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm proud to be here. I do feel like this was meant for me. So
cool.
It's near and dear to my heart, and I'm loving it so far.
Great to hear.
Thank you.
Denise, we have made the audience wait. I always like to stretch this out a little bit and everything and make them wait a little bit. Who is our pet of the week?
We are highlighting Spot today. Spot is a tiny little female. We think she's a mixed breed, possibly, terrier. Hard to say. She came in as part of a hoarding situation. It says on the website that she's a wiggle butt. She really is. She's tiny. She's about 30 pounds, if that.
Wow.
She is spayed. She's friendly. She's just beautiful. She has like a really pretty face. If you're interested and you need, we're not sure. She does seem to get along with other dogs, but because of the situation she came from, we'd like to do a meet and greet if somebody's interested. But she's one that'll sit on your lap and cuddle with you.
Yeah, lap dog, yeah.
For the audience who may not know, and I know what I'm talking about here, as I mentioned, I did work in humane societies. Wiggle butt is an actual term.
It is. I've learned that
technical
too.
Term, yep. Right.
They see it and you're like, oh yeah, that's a wiggle butt.
That is a Spot is an old school name a bit for a dog.
Yeah.
This is a perfect name for this dog.
Yep,
that's
it
a
is.
Perfect name.
Yep, she embodies it.
Not only does she have the face of a spot, just a beautiful face, but she's got some like unique spot, like almost cow-like spots on her coat.
Does. Wow. Yeah. She's beautiful.
It's a very beautiful dog. And you can find out more about her. And she's got all of our, like all of our Humane Society pets that we talk about. They're chipped. They are spayed and neutered.
Correct.
And you have those things. And also keep in mind, if you're looking at these animals and you're unsure if it would be a good fit for your family or anything, that's what the Humane Society is there for. They want to, they are not just looking to put an animal anywhere. They want the perfect match to happen for you.
Absolutely.
And those happen every day.
They do. Yep. And we go to great lengths to make sure that it's the perfect fit for the animal and the family, because we want everyone to be happy in the long run.
And, you know, with Spot, Spot's not alone. Spot's been there 147 days, mm-hmm. Which is just too long.
Yeah, too long.
I don't think you have to know a lot about animals to know that time works differently for them.
It does.
And for 147 days for us is a long time. For them, it's almost an eternity.
Right.
Giving them a home is not only going to be great for them, but great for you. It's a great opportunity to have your new best friend.
Absolutely.
They're just waiting for you over there. Denise, is there anything else we wanted to touch on before I let you go today? Because I wanted to make sure to get everything in.
If any questions, anybody is curious about what we do, give us a call, stop by. It's a little crazy there with the construction, but we're happy to give you a tour or sit down and talk to you about, you know, what you'd like and, you know, mm-hmm. your wishes for animals and things like that.
Thank you. That was what I wanted to ask. People do want to drop things off mm-hmm. or, you know, needs or anything like that. With the construction going out, is the front door still busy over there?
The front door is not accessible. You have to come around to the side door on the south side of the building, ring the bell, and somebody will greet you, or just give us a call and say, I just pulled in and we'll meet you outside.
Right. You can give them a call. Feel free to do that. That number is 715-423-0505. 715-423-0505. Otherwise, you can email them, office@swchs.com, office@swchs.com, and stop on by at 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. You can't miss it. That big old dog on top of the building. I love it. That's so great.
Yep.
Denise, it's always great hanging out with you. Happy New Year to you and yours and the staff over there and to all those amazing animals. And we look forward to seeing you again next Thursday.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate
you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Have a great one and Happy New Year to you and everybody over there. Say Happy New Year to the staff for us, too.
I will. And the dogs and cats.
Yes, please do. Every single one of them, Denise. Every single one.
Personally, I will. Go right
to and make sure to mention my name, too.
Just I will. James says hello.
Thank you so much. You were the best. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate you. And keep in mind, everybody, we are always looking for partners for this segment. If you are a business out there, one of the better things you could do advertising-wise, marketing-wise, is attaching yourself to not only our station, but to the Humane Society. Working with nonprofits is one of the better things, one of the bang for your buck that you can get as an advertiser. Any marketing person will tell you that. I encourage you to sponsor this segment. We'll reach out to our front desk, 424-1300. We'll put you in touch with Ashley and get you to a part of the team. We'll have another Pet of the Week for you next Thursday right here in this time slot on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. Doorworks for the win.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers Mondays at 5:30 on WFHR, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little bit of sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down to around 10. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high pretty close to 15 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Big shout out to Denise and all of our friends over at the Southland County Humane Society. That was fun.
That was good. Yes.
This is it's a bit of a crazy week with the you know, kind of day in the middle of the week not
right.
being here and kind of getting back into the swing of things. But we couldn't ask for a better start to the year with having Phil and Denise in and everything. This has been a blast.
It's been great.
We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Do want to let everybody know that the heart of this station and really the person that makes all of this work, Pam Hilke, is not in the offices today.
Yeah, that's right.
So we want to send a shout out to Laura and the good work she is doing out there. Manning things out there and making sure that the lights stay on and Seth and I don't start the building on fire or any of those important things.
Always important things, yes.
And not only keeping that in mind as well, when you if you stop by the studios today, the offices should be open.
Yeah.
Should be open, but keep that in mind. You might want to stop by earlier today, maybe before 11 or noon if you have something to drop off or pick up.
Exactly.
And we appreciate y'all working with us on that. Thank you so much, everybody. Coming out of the holidays, one of the more popular fun songs and Funica songs, really, is the Hanukkah song from Adam Sandler.
That's right. Oh, and my goodness.
Saturday Night Live did a holiday episode, as they do every year, and really embraced this. I actually got to watch catch up on SNL on New Year's.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the things I did on New Year's Eve, was catching up on Saturday Night Live things, because I am known for having a partier mentality, and I had to keep that up, Seth. Yes. Have a reputation.
You're so well known for that, right? Yeah.
I got to say, real quick side note, I watched the Martin Short Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And not only a bombardment of cameos, as you would imagine.
Of course.
With Tom Hanks and Paul Rudd and Melissa McCarthy showing up and everything, and so many amazing people.
Wow.
Tina Fey was on there and stuff. Pound for pound, the best SNL episode I've seen in ages.
Wow.
Every segment had me laughing.
That's great.
I thought everyone was good. I thought everybody had fun on there, which made the audience have fun.
Of course. That always helps.
And there is something about seeing Martin Short working with like actors that are in their first year on SNL.
Mm.
And knowing where he started and how nervous he was for so long. And as a little kid running around the house doing Ed Grimley impressions and everything.
I must say.
I just was blown away by seeing him at this stage. And
that's great.
Martin Short's had a couple of comebacks and a couple of really good notes here and there where him and Maya Rudolph were doing an amazing work a while ago and some things. But where his career is now, I don't know if he's ever been more popular.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
Wild is that?
Yeah. Well, you think back, you know, he got his start, you know, SNL. Was he Second City before that?
Yes.
Was Martin Short?
A little bit.
Okay.
He worked, because he's a Canadian actor.
Right, exactly.
And he worked
a
lot with the Bob and Doug McKenzie in those sketches.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He was a writer on some of
everything. That's right, okay.
Rick Moranis, I believe, and him knew each other.
Okay, which would make sense. A lot of Canadians from there, too.
Yeah.
But he got a start there. And then he was kind of he was in a couple of movies. You know, he would make appearances. So that was kind of his first thing, you know, Innerspace, right?
Innerspace.
Yeah, he was really good in that one. But he kind
of,
you know, just kind of went off a little bit, you know, doing whatever. And then, you know, the Jiminy Glick thing came up and he was big for a while with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he kind of went, you know, I didn't say went away, but, you know, he just did some different stuff, basically, and kind of was out of the broader public eye. But I think you're absolutely right, man. As soon as he and Steve Martin started doing stuff together, they have both of them, and it's helped Steve Martin, too, be more in the public eye because they're so good together.
It's interesting to see where Steve Martin is still so relevant as well. That's been fantastic.
It's been great.
If you're looking, you know, if you haven't caught SNL in a long long time and maybe you missed it or you'd like to catch up on one,
yeah.
I can't recommend the Martin Short episode enough. It was fantastic. It was their holiday episode, too. Right. It was a lot of fun.
I got to say one thing, too. From all accounts, Martin Short is one of the nicest people in show business. I mean, it's been, you know, and he lost his wife like what about a decade ago, which was one of the great romances. I mean, he has never since then he's not been with anybody because he just for whatever reason he's talked about it. He just can't. It's just because of how close they were and how much in love they were.
As a side note, not to spoil anything, because that's one of my biggest things I hate is spoiling things.
Right.
If you are new to Only Murders in the Building, it's maybe the best show on TV or best show there is.
It's up there, yeah.
I highly recommend that one. I would mention that, for one, part of the reason he went away was certainly doing theater and the situation with his wife.
Yep.
Where he needed a break.
Yeah, and she was sick for a long time, too, so yeah.
Part of what Only Murders in the Building was started as was a chance for Steve Martin to highlight his friend and his friend who needed something to get him back at work.
Yep.
But also, hey, here's a guy who we Martin Short's been doing this for four decades, and it's a guy that we only know a little bit about seen a little bit of his talent.
Exactly.
You didn't get to see him as a dramatic actor. You didn't get to see him do certain things in suspense or any of this. You get all of it with Only Murders, and he nails it. As much as I love Steve Martin, and he's one of my all-time favorites.
Absolutely.
As big as a talent as Selena Gomez is, my God, is she only going to do better and better things going forward. This show is all about Martin Short.
It is.
And it's so good to see him like getting his flowers, getting an opportunity to really shine and show what he can do.
When I first started watching it on James' recommendation, by the way, so very good recommendation. That's the thing that totally blew me away the first couple of seasons, how good of an actor Martin Short is. No idea. I had no clue he was that good.
The pilot episode, he has a couple of scenes in there. And again, I've seen everything he's done. I've never seen him do it. I didn't know he was even capable of. Mm-hmm. And it was just in the pilot, let alone since then. Mm-hmm. And him and Meryl Streep have a very close relationship in the series.
Yeah, they do.
And they talked about this quite in length because Martin Short had not kissed anybody since his wife.
Yep.
Until this and everything, and it was very difficult, and they worked together on it.
Yep,
just a beautiful kind of when creatives can get together and they can be vulnerable together. Some of the best work you're going to see shows up.
Oh man, and no one deserves it more than him.
Absolutely. Yep. The Hanukkah song turned 30, and that's incredible. and to celebrate that, Adam Sandler did some fun things with it. And he first off he got he wanted to get some choir singers with him, the Dre Dres, he called them.
I love that. I love it.
Now, one of the things he did to do this, three of they're all younger people, and Sandler and his team traveled to Jewish synagogues around Los Angeles and other communities to audition kids for this.
That's great. That's awesome. Cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
They had a concert. You can catch it on SNL. Just great stuff. And just that the Hanukkah song is 30 years old. That is fantastic.
You know, that might go down as, he wrote a couple of songs that we still, reference and everything. That might be the one that he's remembered for, though. I honestly think, because it's entered like the standard, I know there's not a lot of Hanukkah songs out there, but there are some. But that one is probably one of the most well-known out there right now.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I will also throw out there Lunch Lady. Lunch Lady is also up there, but I think that's in part because of Chris Farley playing the Lunch Lady. Yeah,
which is hilarious. I think Red Hooded Sweatshirt is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a great one. That's a great one. Yeah. So how do you keep time when you can't even count? Just ask U2 drummer Larry Mullen Jr. because he's been doing it his whole life.
What?
Larry recently found out that he has a condition called a dyscalculia.
Okay.
Or math dyslexia.
Right. Right. Okay.
Now, I'm bringing up this story in part because this is something I've struggled with myself and everything, and I think that it's quite unique. What's unique about it is not the disease, is that so many people don't know that they're dealing with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Or don't understand it. This is something that we're learning and we're doing more and more in real time.
Yep.
We're trying to fix the boat that's got a hole in it in real time.
Yep.
There are a lot of people out there of our generation that were some of the first that we're diagnosed with things.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about abbreviations and, you know, acronyms and everything.
Yeah, right.
We were some of the first to have to learn some of those.
Right, right. You know, ADHD or ADD, as we called it when we first, or ADHD, that kind of stuff. And all these, I mean, you've talked about, you know, dyslexia and all those things. Yeah. We're things before, it was always like, oh, there's something wrong, especially the people that were suffering from it. Like, something wrong with me.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me? Yeah. I don't understand this. Why can't I not do this? Everyone else around me is doing it. Why can't I do it? Well, now we're figuring this out. It's like, oh no, guess what? There is something wrong that we can, now that we can diagnose it, maybe we can get, you know, we can do ways of helping you out.
And as a kid, I beat myself up about this stuff.
A lot of kids did.
I remember being eight, nine years old and being afraid to, you know, the teacher was going to call on me because I didn't understand what was in front of me and things like that.
Yep.
What we bring this stuff up in part because we hope to encourage the next generations to speak up and to say something, to feel comfortable to say things and to talk and everything. It's not as if this stuff is new. It's just being newly diagnosed. It's just new that we're doing that.
100%. That's something we have to keep in mind. And the fact, it's important though to get this out there, like you said, talk about it, get it out there, because then we can develop mechanisms to help people that have these issues to, you know, feel that they're not stupid or anything like this. You know, they can help them and they can do things in society.
And have people who are successful, people who have been successful through these things, speaking up about it is really important.
Very much so.
Larry Mullen, from all I know, is a good drummer, has always been considered and respected as a decent drummer and everything. U2 is certainly a respected band.
Absolutely.
He says, quote, "I've always known that there's something not particularly right with the way that I deal with numbers. I'm numerically challenged. I can count and I can't add. Or I'm sorry, I can't count and I can't add." So that's an extreme version.
That's
of
very
this.
Extreme, yes.
And then to make it in music, like not just make it in music, but you're one of the most successful bands of the last 30, 40 years.
And in one of the most important positions in rock and roll music. The drum is so important. And you're literally keeping the beat. So, yeah.
And that explains why he often looks miserable behind the kit, though. If you've ever noticed that about him.
Really? No.
He always seems to have a very just stone face.
Very
there.
Serious look on his face, yeah.
Quote, "I am pained because I'm trying to count the bars.
Oh.
I had to find ways of doing this, and counting bars is like climbing Everest." In the middle of actual, like, live. It's not just that they're, like, in the middle of in the studio when
we're recording or something, yeah.
But live, and thousands of people there, and you got Bono, who is a bit of a perfectionist and everything.
And how many times has he done this? Like thousands of times.
Yeah.
How many live shows has he played in his life?
Now, one of the things that Larry and I and many people will remind you, too, is that if you are struggling with this or you have questions about your own brain with these things, not only is there help, there's ways to work and navigate this in life.
Yep.
You don't have to struggle with this. You don't have to suffer
with this. Now, he had to do it himself because – and he's found a way kind of do – even though, obviously, it – it's not easy. It is not easy for him. And maybe if this is something he had known earlier, maybe he could have found some ways to work around it a little bit. So, but I give him 100% credit for coming out and talking about it. It's very important.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. Because he didn't have to do this.
No.
Like, I don't think most people even know who, nothing against him.
No.
I don't think most people know who he is necessarily.
Yeah, right.
They might know pictures of him because him and the bass player, the bass player and the drummer look a lot alike in YouTube. I think it's really cool that he did that. And now a caretaker for his dad's work, Sean Ono Lennon seeks to innovate his work, not just repeat it. You and I, off air and on air, have talked about the Lennon boys a little bit, Julian and Sean Lennon, and what it's like not only to come from that, you know, having that as a musical family.
Yes,
not
amazing.
Just, of course, John Lennon is your dad, but in this case, Yoko Ono is your mom, who was a musician. Whether she was good or not, or all that stuff, is each and everybody's opinion out there, and I'm not going to get into that.
She was more of an artist, but yes, she did music. Yep.
It's a really good point right there. Especially if you're listening, if you're just approaching her as a singer.
Yeah.
That's not going to do you any good.
No.
But if you look at her as an artist, I think it's a little different.
A visual artist, she's done performance art, she's done a lot of stuff, so yeah.
Well, great article at abcnews.go, and you can find that at abcnews.go.com if you'd like. I do want to send a shout out to David Bauder, the AP writer who did the article on this in the write-up. Only recently has Sean been given stewardship over his late father's work, but Sean Ono Lennon is on a remarkable run. The only child of John and Yoko Ono won an Academy Award this year for a short film based on his parents' 71 song, Happy Christmas, War is Over. Beautiful short film.
I have not seen it, and now I want to.
Very good. Very, very good. I get goosebumps thinking about it, to be honest with you. And a few months later, was nominated for his first ever Grammy for production of the box set Mind Games, originally released in 73. He has been feeling a bit overwhelmed, and it is a little surreal for him. And he recently shared a Webby Award with his mother for Ono's interactive art project, Wish Tree.
Man, she's still doing stuff, too. Wow.
He was only five when he lost his dad.
Yep.
This has been important for him and therapeutic for him in many ways, going over this work. The work is a way to connect with his father. It's more than a perspective mission. He takes artistic license, pulling apart the recordings of John Lennon's music to create something entirely new.
Wow. That's amazing.
The Mind Games thing, I haven't listened. I got to, though.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating, out. Yeah.
Lennon was inspired in part by another Beatle offspring, Donnie Harrison, who helped repackage his own father's work, All Things Must Pass. Donnie Harrison is also behind the Fall's reissue of his dad's Living in the Material World album.
Ooh,
and some of that.
Good album.
It's amazing to see what these kids are doing with their parents' work.
Right.
And the idea of not shying away from it. Mm-hmm. In my family, my father is larger than life. My dad was just huge. It was as an athlete, as just a personality. I don't believe that there are as many people in this world that have met my dad and don't come away being just liking him. Yeah. Just liking that guy. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, yeah.
There's something about him. Mm-hmm. And having the same name as him and living up to that was a bit difficult. And my father was by no means perfect or anything.
Right.
I can't imagine, like, on this level, like, what you're dealing with there and how you handle that. And I don't think anybody can, unless you've actually gone through it. I don't think you can really understand what that's like. And one of the things I encourage so much in 2025 is embracing, I know that I don't know. I empathize with you, but I don't know what it's like.
Right.
I can empathize with something, but I'm not going to pretend I know what it's like and assume I know what it is.
Right.
The more we can do that as a society, the better off we're all going to be.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting considering, you know, how famous their parents are, especially what happened to John. And I have to give a lot of credit to Yoko because she protected Sean. I mean, she protected him from all that could have happened after John was killed and everything like that. She was also very protective of John's legacy. And now, obviously, Sean learned very well that because now he's going to be the protector of that legacy. But not only that, he's also being creative with it, which I think is so cool. I mean, and he's such a talented artist. I mean, he's not a big pop star, but if you've ever heard any of his music, if you've ever heard some of the groups he's worked with, and because there's been quite a few of them, he's produced music. He's a talent, obviously, and now a filmmaker. I mean, who knew, right?
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see, and it's him being honest about how it's made him feel because, you know, like you said, he was really young when his dad died. Yeah. So he doesn't have a lot of memories. Now he can kind of work through it.
And he gets to not only go through some things and vicariously and live through and do some therapy and this and all that, also getting this music out there for younger generations and so
which
much other
really
things.
Cool, yeah.
Let's take a phone call before we go to our news break. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yep. Oh, wow, lost him.
Hey, feel free to call back. 715-424-2600. We'll meet you back here after this break. I do want to send a shout-out to Beth. Her and I are on the same wavelength sometimes. I didn't even see her text. Martin Short did a lot of Broadway in between other projects.
Very good.
Mentioned the theater thing, but yeah, Beth is absolutely right. He was.
She would know.
Absolutely.
She's our Broadway person.
She's our Broadway correspondent. Yeah, Broadway Beth. Broadway Beth. There we go. We'll be back with more show coming up. We're going to talk when we come back, Seth and I, and we want audience participation on this one coming up, everybody.
Okay.
Get that getting ready to call us, and I want to know what the greatest dog character of all time.
Oh, okay.
Who is your number one dog character of all time? It's a tough list. It's going to get heavy. We're going to go at it.
We're going to get it. We're going to do it.
Fun. Coming up on the
tough questions here.
Tough stuff.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Protecting your personal information and finances from fraudsters gets harder each year. The BBB has some suggestions to help you avoid fraud. Lisa Hale has more.
Starting the new year with a new awareness of scammers and their methods can help you have a fraud-free year in 2025. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau has collected a group of resolutions to help you stay fraud-free. Resolve to be cautious with email. Be wary of any unsolicited emails. Resolve to never send money to strangers. Research before making online payments and purchases. Resolve to never share personal information with a stranger. Resolve to create strong, unique passwords for each account that you have. And resolve to be social media smart. Finally, check your financial statements regularly and educate yourself on the latest scams.
High school football coaches in Wisconsin are pitching a plan to change how the postseason works here. With more, here's Civic Media's sports director, Jimmy Kuska.
A proposal to change how Wisconsin high school football teams qualify for the playoffs and are organized by division has overwhelming support from coaches. The Wisconsin Football Coaches Association says of the 400 head coaches responding to a survey, 350 of them, or 87.5%, support the WFCA's proposal, which would eliminate computer algorithms from the playoff process. This year, the WIAA admitted it made mistakes in setting the playoff field, leaving out Madison West and Greenfield. Now the plan goes to committee and could be up for a vote as soon as February for implementation as soon as the fall of 2025. According to WIAA data, there are approximately 425 high school football programs in Wisconsin, of which 240 make the playoffs.
The next step is a Coaches Advisory Committee meeting on January 7th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers lose their top defensive back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Cornerback Jair Alexander suffered a knee injury back in October against the Jaguars. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked if there were any updates.
Yeah, I would expect Ja, most likely he's going to be done for the rest of the year.
Is that injury related?
Yes.
So you have the surgery?
Yes.
Alexander had his right knee scoped on Tuesday. A report says he could be back by mid-February if the Packers are in the Super Bowl. I asked safety Xavier McKinney what it's been like watching Jair struggling to come back.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, he's dealt with, you know, this injury pretty much all year. Obviously, we wanted him to be back out there, but, you know, injuries are part of the game, so we understand that. We know that he's been working, you know, or he was working to, you know, try to get back, but it's like every time he was trying to, he would tweak it again. So it's a part of the game.
NBA, the Bucks in action tonight in Milwaukee. They host the Brooklyn Nets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Kick off the new year with a style that's all your own. Stand out and set the trend with Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated. Design custom sports apparel that showcases your unique flair. When you feel good, you perform better.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk. They hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little bit of sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down to around 10. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high pretty close to 15 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
I saw it. I had to. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hello, everybody.
Say you, say me, say it for always.
They did a, Lionel Richie is, I guess, a judge on American Idol or Voice or one
he's
of those.
He's on one of those shows now, yes. Shows yes, or whatever.
I saw a commercial. I'm so sorry. I don't know the shows. No, so
you're fine, dude.
I don't know which show it was he's on, but they showed a picture of him from his Commodore's days. One of the better afros you're going to see.
Oh, God, his hair was awesome.
Yeah. I feel like because he's been around for so long, mm-hmm. I don't know if I've really given enough credit to Lionel Richie and how, like, he is such a smooth voice.
Man, one of those great voice. I mean, the Commodores, if you knew the Commodores, mm. they had a lot of different singers. They all, you know, mm. they had a group that of different guys that sang, but, you know, Lionel was the ballad guy. And, of course, then he went on to his big solo career. A lot of famous ballads, but, yeah, his voice. One of a kind.
Night Shift is one of my all-time favorites. I love that song, so yeah. I never get tired of that song. Never get tired.
It's excellent.
One of the other things that happens, I think, when you're celebrating New Year's, there's some nostalgia that happens, I think, for some of us that are getting up there in age and everything. And I was thinking a lot about, and I talked about this with you and Mel the other day, mm-hmm. How me and my best friend spent every New Year's together staying up late,
right.
You know, watching TV we weren't supposed to or something like that. Having fun. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that a little bit, and I saw something from Walter Payton come up. Oh. And it got me thinking about Walter Payton, mm-hmm. and looking at some interviews with him and everything. And one of the things that Walter, you know, more famous things about him was he had a Ruse headband. Mm-hmm. That he always wore, because he had an advertisement deal with Ruse, the Ruse company.
Yep.
And to anybody out there listening that has no idea what I'm talking about, there were these shoes back in the day called Kangaroos, and they were just Ruse, basically. And there were, the only thing they had going for them was they had a little pocket. They had a little pocket on the shoe.
For what?
I never had a pair. Thank you. I don't know what was supposed to fit in that pocket.
It was the pouch of the kangaroo, right? That's the whole gimmick. Yeah.
This sent me on a rabbit hole, Seth.
Oh, dear.
Of realizing that the 80s were the age of Velcro. We put Velcro on everything. Like wallets. Remember Velcro wallets?
Oh, my God. You could tell someone was buying something because then you'd hear that, you know, every time.
To anybody that had invested, like bought stock in Velcro, like you're still living off the 80s, man. I did not realize how much we did this until I started. Like, if you're just looking for a fun rabbit hole to go down, look at how Velcro in the 80s and where we put it.
You cannot tell me you don't hear that sound and it transports you sometime in the 80s. I swear 100%. To God.
We do want to send a shout out to our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society, not only Denise and the great team that they have over mm-hmm. there, but Spot, our pet of the week.
Our pet of the week is Spot.
Go ahead and find out more about Spot at SWCHS.com. SWCHS.com. Now, unfortunately, Spot does not qualify for this next list. The greatest dog characters of all time.
Okay.
All right. 715-424-2600. Call up. Join the conversation. I want to hear from you. Who do you think is the greatest dog character of all time? Mm-hmm. Ranker.com put together their list. The voting, and the people have voted on this one. Okay. So it wasn't just something a bunch of writers came up with. It was voted on by the public. They have 20 names here. We're going to burn through Ooh, some of these
yep.
so we can get through them all. But I do want honorable mentions from everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to throw out my own real quick because I don't see them on here.
Okay.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. I love Courage the Cowardly Dog. I love that cartoon.
That was good. Yep.
That was my sister and brother show, but man, I watched that one.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Just between you and I, Seth. I watched that too. I love that show. Balto from Balto.
Oh, that's not a bad movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's not too bad.
Bolt from Bolt.
Balto Bolt, okay.
Now, here's a deep cut for you. Nana from Peter Pan. Remember the dog from Peter Pan?
Oh, yeah. It's like a St. Bernard. Yeah, the big one. Oh, my goodness.
It's a great, and it has a couple moments in that
one. Interesting, it made the top 20. Wow.
That seems weird to me.
Yeah, a lot of people remember that one.
But okay, all right. Yep. Beethoven from Beethoven.
Another St. Bernard.
Yeah.
Hey, man, how many movies? Three did they make out of that? That was popular.
Yeah. Wow. You're right, though. Yeah, they did make like three out of that. Jesus.
Charles Grodin, man. They're giving him work.
First thing I thought of was Charles Grodin. First thing. God, man, shout out to Charles Grodin. Great character actor.
He was.
Great character actor.
Yeah.
Shadow from Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
Oh, yes. That was a book. That book? I read multiple times when I was a kid. Yeah. That was a good book.
Copper from Fox and Hound.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Pongo from 101 Dalmatians.
Specifically Pongo? What's wrong with Perdita?
Yeah.
Which is a much cooler name, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You got quite a few you could choose from.
Yeah, come on. And then you got 101 other Dalmatians to choose from.
That's pretty good. Blue from Blue's Clues.
Oh,
at number 13.
Boy, a lot of people. Yeah.
Great show.
That was a fabulous show.
One of the best kids shows of all time.
Yeah, I never watched it, and neither did my kids, but I know a lot of people love that show.
My son and daughter just, maybe the top show that got them, like, engaged. And
excellent.
That show, what was so cool to me about that show is they didn't just sit there and watch it. They brought me in on it, and we were doing things.
You were participating,
We were never just sitting there and just watching the TV. We were doing things with it and interacting, and it was fun. And Blue was a big part of that. Spike from Tom and Jerry.
It's
a good one. Geez. Deep cut.
That's a deep cut. Wow. I don't even remember. I know. I think about it. I come a couple cartoons with Spike in it, but yeah.
Toto from Wizard of Oz.
That makes sense.
And I wouldn't have thought of Toto, but Toto's got to go on that list.
Yep.
I'm actually a little surprised at number 11, Toto comes in at number 11.
Yeah.
Almost an upset here. I think should be way higher on the list. Odie from Garfield.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Odie don't get enough love.
He doesn't.
Odie's awesome.
You love Odie, man.
How great of a character are you when you never say anything and almost everybody knows who you are?
Yeah. And then loves a beloved Odie, I have to say.
Lady from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, yes.
It's a good one.
Again, why doesn't that? No, I'm just kidding.
yes, you could. Yeah,
why do they? The tramp, I don't get the difference in there anyway.
Slinky dog from Toy Story. Isn't that Ernest? Didn't Ernest do the voice of Slinky?
Yes, Jim Varney.
Jim Varney
did the voice of Slinky, yes.
The great Jim Varney, I should say. Okay, and then at number 7, the Tramp from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, he's higher on the list. Okay.
So, wow, that's crazy. Tramp is higher than Lady and from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, I don't know about that, yeah.
Squirrel! Doug from Up. I didn't know his name was Doug.
His name is Doug, yes.
And it's D-U-G, not D-O-U-G.
Yes.
D-U-G as like, in Doug like Up.
Doug, so, yeah, exactly.
Like at number 5 on the list, Clifford the Big Red Dog.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's been, the books, the shows, the movies, been around. That's a generational thing.
My kids, my brother and sister read a little bit, got into those, but I did not really know those books that well or anything, but so successful.
Yes.
Really unpopular.
And the TV show was very long running on PBS as well. Of course, John Ritter did the voice of Clifford.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boy, now we're into the top 5.
Okay.
Clifford at number 5.
Okay.
Number 4, Pluto.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put Pluto's.
Pluto's got to get up there. Yeah, Pluto's
and gotta the best dog owned by a mouse. Yeah.
Yes, very much. Yeah, and very confusing for Goofy, who is in at number 3,
who's also a dog.
Yeah.
That is the one big mystery of the Mickeyverse, I guess you want to call it, is how Goofy is also a dog. And Pluto, but yet they're so different from each other.
I would have went Disneyverse. You're more correct in saying Mickeyverse. That's a better way to put it.
Specifically Mickey's group, yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right. And the most confusing thing in maybe all of animation, the most confusing thing is how some dogs are like Pluto and some are like Goofy.
It doesn't make any sense.
There's only one. Well, no, Goofy's got kids and stuff.
He's got a son. Like, yeah. There's other people in the Goofyverse. See, now we're really getting into it.
Yeah, we're really
getting in the weeds now.
I love this. I love it.
I always liked Pluto, though.
Pluto's fun.
Maybe my favorite character was Pluto. I really like Pluto.
The early ones with him and like Chip and Dale, where they would torment him, those are fun,
And Goofy's a great character. Goofy deserves
it. Goofy's my favorite of all the traditional Disney Mickey kind of characters. Goofy's my favorite.
Yeah, sure. Right up there for me, too. And the top two, one and two spots, I think could be interchangeable, and I would love to know from you guys out there where you would rank these two.
Okay.
If they would rank in your top one or two, or your top three, even. Mm-hmm. But at number two is Scooby-Doo. And at number one, Snoopy.
Of course. Mm-hmm. No surprise there. Snoopy's the greatest. I would put him on the top of my list as well, I think.
A bit of an upset to not see the Red Baron show up on this list, I would have thought.
Well, you never see the Red Baron.
No.
Snoopy's just going after him all the time.
Would have liked to seen Spike show up in this list.
Spike is hilarious.
I love Spike.
Love Spike.
I like Spike. Snoopy's cousin Spike.
His brother, actually. It's his brother.
That's his brother.
Yeah.
I always say his cousin is his brother. That's right. And let's hear from you out there. Good morning. You're on the show.
What happened to Snot from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Oh, that's a good one. It's another good reference. I think they're going cartoons. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But no, they had Beethoven.
No, they had some live-action ones here.
Yeah, live action.
It's
both. Right. You're absolutely right, Kev. You're right. It should be in there. That's a good one.
Or what about the dog from Sandlot?
I thought of that one.
Oh, what was the name of that dog?
I was going to say James Earl Jones' dog.
Yeah.
What about Mr. Peabody or Droopy Dog?
Huckleberry Hound.
It's a great one.
Huckleberry Hound, man.
Let's see here. Scrappy Doo. My sister couldn't stand Scrappy Doo.
No, Scrappy's the worst.
I'm looking at a list here, and you've got Jake the dog from Adventure Time. Done by the great, I can't think of his name, but one of my favorite voice actors does his voice.
Yes.
He's Bender.
John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio does the voice of Jake the Dog.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, there's some good dog references out there in movies and everything. And I would have to say, like we were talking about your brother and sister James about Blue's Clues. My older son, that was his one of his favorite shows growing up. He was probably, he's 25 now, I think. So it's been around a while. And then, his favorite was Blue's Clues, along with, the actor with him was Steve, and that was just why that was one of his favorite shows. So.
This is a good list, but it's and I don't like to, necessarily squabble with these things too much, but how can it be a list without Lassie on it? One, in all seriousness, how is Lassie not? None of these dogs are here without Lassie, you could say. But also Ralph the dog. Like, Ralph the dog, come on. Ralph the dog is one of the best dogs ever.
Well, I mean, and again, it's all personality. What about, we've got Santa's Little Helper.
You stole my ending. That was exactly where I was going. This list does not make any sense how Santa's Little Helper is not on this list.
Quick note about Lassie.
Air Bud.
Air Bud's a good one.
The basketball player. I think if this were done in the 50s, Lassie would be in the top five, if not top. If this were done in the 20s, it would be Rin Tin Tin, who is in a whole bunch of silent movies, was a big star. So it's all about when the era too. That's something to do with
Old
it.
Yeller too, back in the day.
Yep. In the 60s, Old Yeller would have been up there.
Yeah, man, where would entertainment be without these?
I'm
dogs?
Telling you.
I think honorable mention, and I don't do this very often, but Brian Griffin from Family Guy. Brian and Stewart are the only characters I like.
My favorite too. If I had to pick,
Santa's Little Helper belongs on this list. You've got 35 years of TV that you've gotten out of that.
It's a really old dog.
Kev, appreciate you. Safe travels out there.
All right, you guys have a great day.
You too.
Seth and I will be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join The Morning Show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Rudy.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little bit of sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down to around 10. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high pretty close to 15 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
You say.
Welcome back, everybody. Seth and James here with you. New outro song. We're going to have
a good one.
It's a new one to add to the list here and everything. And especially we were talking about the Beatles a little bit earlier.
That's
it just
true.
Felt like a fitting way. Seth and James here to wrap up the show. We'll take it to the top of the hour. Just a couple of minutes left, everybody. But I did want to touch on one more good story to wrap things up.
All right.
And drones are in the news a lot. They're going to be in the news a lot going forward.
They will be,
And there is a lot of negativity or a lot of, you know, I would say even genuine concern over it and everything. I don't want to use the word fear. I think that's a little heavy.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be very specific with our words going forward.
I think that's wise.
Including myself need to do that. But concerned neighbor with a drone helped rescue a dog that spent nearly a full day stranded on the thin ice covered in a New Jersey lake.
Oh, dear.
A 20-month-old pooch named Brooklyn was spotted on the thin ice covering Lake Parpasi and appeared to be afraid of strangers to venture off the ice. So it was too far in the middle to be able to be reached.
Right.
But they were able to save the dog and get it through, but they only found this dog because of a neighbor having its drone going around looking for it.
How about that?
Almost everything in life has positives, has negatives.
Right.
It's important.
Technology is that's like the poster child for that, right?
Yeah. It's important, I think, to remember those things.
Yep.
And for every bad story we're going to see about this stuff, to remember that there is a reason for it in our society.
And by the way, what are you doing, person in New Jersey, naming your dog Brooklyn? What are you doing?
That's going to get you kicked out.
They're not going to let you live in New Jersey by doing that. Come on.
They're only finding the dog to help you move. That's it.
Think of all that you can. Hoboken. Name your dog Hoboken. I'd be coming to New Jersey. Come on.
That's not a bad name, actually.
No, it wouldn't be.
Let's take a real quick call because we got to get going here. Good morning. You're on the air.
A lot of drones out there, but hey, whoever killed JFK. Just saying.
Okay, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? How is that funny?
Oh.
Come on, you know better than that, man.
Yeah.
Come on. The exact opposite of what we're trying to do here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we don't peddle in that stuff here.
We do want to get right into our schedule for the day, and we got a great one lined up for you. Join us today at 4 o'clock as we're back at it with Midday Magazine, and we got a good one to kick off. Kevin is going to be with us. Kevin and Sam, we're going to talk about Scouting America.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that's
very cool.
A lot of fun. And in part two, our good friend Anna Mitchell from UW-Madison Extension, natural resource educator over there.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be with us.
Nice.
Anna always has a great topic for us.
Always good stuff.
I learn every time she is in studio with us. That's going to be a lot of
true.
Fun.
It's true.
A little bit later today at 5 o'clock right here on WFHR, we got Wisconsin men's hockey. It's a puck night.
Yes.
Wisconsin, the Badgers taking on the Spartans of Michigan State.
Yes. Kind of a weird split series this weekend, but yeah, starting tonight.
It's going to be a good one.
Yep.
We'll have more of our sports schedule coming up for you. We do want to remind everybody that our great friends over at McMillan Memorial Library have the Red Cross Blood Drive happening today. Yes. It actually kicks off in just a minute or
it
two.
It does. Get on down.
10 to 3 at their all-purpose room. Head on by and drop off to all you heroes out there. We greatly appreciate you donating if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Seth did want to, while you're in with us, this is your last time with us for the week.
Yep.
I wanted to remind everybody about the Winter's Farmers Market.
Yes, that is not open this Saturday, everyone. They're taking another week off. They'll be open again on the 11th. So just keep that in mind, everyone. 9 to 1 on January 11th will be the next time the Winter Farmers Market at the Moravian Church will be open.
And also keep in mind, I believe our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today.
I believe that's correct.
You can find out more at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. I encourage you to give them a call first, 715-422-1980, 422-1980 to find out more. Meals, their neighborhood meals is available on Thursdays traditionally.
Yep.
From about 4:30, they open their doors. 4:15 is seating, and guests are asked not to enter the building until 4 o'clock.
Yes,
so keep
that's
that
right.
in mind.
Yep.
But a big thank you to them, all the volunteers that they have over there, the whole team at Focus doing such
all the great stuff they do there. Absolutely.
So much amazing work over there. We greatly appreciate them. And again, that that blood drive is happening at the McMillan Library today from 10 to 3. Be sure to head on over there and check that out if you can, everybody. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you tomorrow to get you ready for the weekend.
Yeah.
So, Seth, thank you for all the great work. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. It was good.
And
good week.
I want to thank our guests today. A big shout out to Phil from Quality Plus Printing. Joining us. Thank you, Phil, and thank you for the cool shirt.
Yes.
and a big shout out to Denise and our friends at the Southwell County Humane Society.
Yep.
Big thank you to them. Find out more about Spot and all these great animals they have over there at SWCHS.com.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, everybody, right here at...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Kickoff at the Sugar Bowl takes place a few hours from now after a one-day postponement prompted by the New Orleans New Year's Day truck attack.
They believe that while there may have been someone that assisted this individual, the area has been swept.
Louisiana Congressman Troy Carter on CBS Mornings. 15 dead and 15 of the injured remain hospitalized. Attacker Shamsuddin Jabbar died in a shootout with New Orleans police. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Investigators are now questioning those who knew the assailant, part of their search for possible accomplices, but no arrests have been made.
CBS's Omar Villafranca on the families now trying to process the sudden loss of loved ones.
Matthew Tenodorio's cousin paid tribute to the 25-year-old in a post online, describing how he gave the best hugs and had the biggest smile when he walked into the room.
Police in Las Vegas probing a possible connection with the rented Tesla truck that exploded outside the Trump Hotel there yesterday. CBS News special report on Vicki Barker.